Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
That's everything for me, because at the end of the day, nobody wants to have a bad performance. That's not why we play. We just want to do our best, and when you're able to do things without necessarily thinking and just playing, you have fun, and I'm excited to get back to that.
We're excited about getting you back, Corey Littleton, because the Corey Littleton I saw last year, Lincoln Kennedy, was not the Corey Littleton I remember covering in Los Angeles with the Rams, where he was a Pro Bowl linebacker. He emerged as from being an undrafted free agent, special teams ace, to one of the best pass cover linebackers in the NFL, kind of a tackling machine, a guy that the Raiders obviously put a lot of hopes in, a lot of money in to be an anchor of their defense last year. It never came to fruition, but I don't think anyone is more motivated to start the season, to get on the field on Monday night, to begin the process of redeeming himself than Corey Littleton. Lincoln Kennedy, welcome to the show. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Wednesday. Lincoln, you just heard Corey Littleton talking about the bad taste that last year left in his mouth, the disappointment that he felt, and the anxiousness that he feels, motivation he feels, to get on the field on Monday to start turning in performances that he knows he's capable of delivering.
Yeah, you know what? In the system when we got him last year, he just never really looked comfortable. And much to you were speaking of his days with the Rams, I thought he was probably one of the best cover linebackers in the league. I mean, he could cover tight ends, he could cover backs in the system, and then it just never really looked comfortable. And for what it's worth, he never came to fruition what we expected him to. So he struggled. So I'm glad that he feels comfortable. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to seeing this linebacker crew all as a whole, because with Kwiatkowski, you know, with KJ Wright, with Perryman, and everyone else we have, I know they're still waiting for Nicholas Morrow to get filled up, and who knows how long that'll be. But a couple weeks ago, this linebacker crew was a weakness. And now, if they can get everyone out there on the same page, it can definitely be a strength.
Yeah, without question. We want your calls, 702-365-9200. I want your thoughts, want your predictions on what you're hoping, expecting to see, not only on Monday night, but this season. And Lincoln, you bring up a good point. There's no question that a unit that a week and a half ago, because of the injuries and because how that depth was being pressed into, it was a concern. It was a concern of mine coming into training camp, Lincoln. Of all the positions that I would look at, I kept looking at linebacker thinking, okay, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Nicholas Morrow, not a bad group as your starters. But behind them, Tanner Muse, Divine Diablo, Javon White, all of whom played a combined like 30 snaps last year.
Yeah.
And only one of those guys played those snaps, and that was Javon White. And 70% of those snaps were on special teams. So there really wasn't any depth in terms of proven depth behind the starters. And then all of a sudden guys start getting hurt, and you're looking at that group going, boy, this could be an issue. Well, I give the Raiders a lot of credit, and it's an indication of where they really believe they are, because you make the type of moves that the Raiders made to get Denzel Perryman, to go get KJ Wright, when you think that you really legitimately have a chance. Otherwise, you're just kind of wasting everybody's time, and you're also wasting sometimes development time when you go out and try to make moves because you believe you're a winner right now and you're going to go out and get winning players that are going to help you right now. As far as all the development stuff, that just takes a back seat. The young guys will get better somehow, some way, but right now they're putting proven players out there. So I give them a lot of credit. And to me, as I said, Lincoln, I think it's interesting that they're making these types of moves now. It shows me that they think that they can win right now.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, Vinny. I think that when you look at it as a whole, not only are you bringing in two linebackers who are familiar with Gus Bradley's system and has played it before, they've excelled at it. More importantly, you know, you're trying to overcome that what you think of is the weakness on the defense. If it is anywhere, at, you know, prior to these signings, it was at the linebacker. It was just, there was a lack of depth. They thought that Tanner Muse was going to develop and they had to let him go because they just, I mean, it's just business on business. But, you know, things like that, when you talk about development, you don't have time. If you're John Gruden and Mike Mayock, you really don't have time to develop. This is year four. You've got to hit all cylinders, all go. You got to go right now, and you got to win right now. So that whole development stuff, and besides that, I think it's really an oxymoron, to be honest with you, with the way, as limited as you can do, have time with these guys anyways, if you can really ever develop anybody. You know what I mean? They got to play, and they got to be able to play right now.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, a guy like Nate Hobbs, a guy like Trayvon Morrig, they believe can contribute right now simultaneous to also developing. I mean, neither one of those guys are finished products. They're going to have to learn on the job in a lot of respects. But in the meantime, they believe that they're going to be able to give them satisfactory production, like right now. There's no waiting around to see if they can, you know, be viable players on your team. They have to deliver right now, and the better they get in the, you know, along the line, the better that is, obviously, for the Raiders. Quick question for you, and we're going to get out to the listener line here in just 1 second. But Lincoln, I got to ask you this because you know, I like to try to watch body language. I try to like to, you know, sort of focus in on what people are saying. I kind of detected when KJ Wright and some of the newcomers were brought up to Corey Littleton, the reaction was, you know, hey, great, they're here, you know. But let's be honest, Lincoln, a guy like KJ Wright kind of plays the same position in a lot of ways as Corey Littleton. And at some point, if everything works out with Nicholas Morrow, he's going to come back. There's going to be a numbers crunch at that position, and there's going to be a snap crunch at that position eventually. What does this really mean for Corey Littleton moving forward? You know, KJ Wright is a very good player who plays a position very similar to what Corey Littleton plays.
What it means is that you better put up or you're going to get passed over. You're going to get cut. Look, we've seen free agents' moves not work. You know what I mean? The Raiders are trying to achieve something by going out and getting Corey Littleton, gave him a lot of money to come over and play. But now you got to be performing. It's business. You know, you either perform or you get passed over. That's just the rules of the game. So this is going to be a big year for Corey in so many ways, especially when you look at the veterans that are around him. And there, it might be a very short leash that he has with the Raiders, because they might, if he doesn't perform, they could very well make moves. I don't know the salary structure, but they could probably make moves at the end of the year to let him go.
Well, I'll tell you this. I got some texts the last couple of days from NFL folks wondering, huh, you think the Raiders would be interested in trading Corey Littleton at some point? So just food for thought. And here is Corey Littleton talking about KJ Wright.
It's football. These guys have been playing football for a long time. They're great additions to have in our room. And honestly, they've made themselves comfortable where we feel comfortable with them at the same time. And we're all becoming buddies. So excited to have them here.
There you have it.
Oh, I thought you were. There was one other that specifically about KJ Wright. DeMond, if we got that one, let me know. Give me a hand signal when you have it up. It felt a little bit like, you know, great. You know, he's here. But before we get to that, we're going to go out to the. Oh, you got it? Okay, go for it.
Smart guy, veteran. You can already feel the leadership coming out of him. Just a good dude to have in your room.
I don't know, Lincoln, you know, but I'm sure when you're, you know, if you were in that situation and they brought in two other tackles, guard, offensive lineman, all of that, you'd be thinking, what's that all about? You know, like, we're not getting the job done. Yes, there's injuries. Denzel Perryman obviously fits a major need right now. But, you know, like I said, going to get KJ Wright, there's probably a little bit to read into that in regards to Corey Littleton. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe this motivates him, too, to get better, because if everybody's playing well, then you got a great, great problem. And that could be the issue that the Raiders eventually face when Nicholas Morrow comes back. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Danny is in Fresno. How you doing, Danny?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good. Oh, man, I'm excited. My wife and I are flying out on Sunday morning. We're ready for Monday night. I'm excited. Linebackers are going to be good. I feel like KJ Wright is going to be a good addition. And I'm excited to see. You know, I'm excited about the the football IQ, I think, is kind of the level of IQ on defense. I think it's kind of elevated with the addition of a lot of the players. You know, Darius Filon, McCoy. I think McCoy is going to have a sack on Monday night. I think the inside penetration is what is going to get at Lamar Jackson, because that'll flush him up, get his feet moving quick. And I don't think necessarily the outside guys are going to get all the sacks. I think it's going to come from the inside. I think he's probably going to throw at least a pick, maybe two. Might even get a fumble, a sack fumble on him. Because I don't know how's the Ravens' offensive line. I haven't heard much about how good they are. So I just I think it's funny everybody's talking talking up the Chiefs' O line and their revamped offensive line, and they're just giving the Raiders the short end of the stick. And you know what I mean? When we actually have some legitimate starters from last year who are pretty good. So. And nobody's talking about Josh Jacobs. He's going to have a good game. I believe he's gonna have a pretty nice game. And we're going to control the clock. We're going to keep Lamar off the field. And when he is on the field, we're going to be in his face. And I believe we're going to run away with this one pretty easily, because they got running backs that are still trying out right now. Like, what are they going to do? You know, Lamar's pass offense relies on his running game. And if they don't got J.K. Dobbins back there, how are they going to keep the defense on the heels? We're going to know what's coming every time. So I'm excited.
And hey, if you're flying in Sunday morning, don't forget to come join us over at the Rockstar Bar and Grill over on Las Vegas Boulevard. We're starting at 5:00. It's the Nation Block Party. We're going to have music. Raider Head is going to be out there. We're giving away two tickets to the Raiders Ravens game. 5:00. Me and Q Myers are going to be out there. Bob Golic is going to be out there at the Rockstar Bar starting at 5:00. So if you're coming in Sunday morning, no excuse not to join us and kick off the season over at Rockstar Bar. But Lincoln, you know, I'm looking at the Ravens depth chart. You know, Ronnie Stanley, obviously one of the best tackles in the NFL. Looks like Ben Cleveland is a left guard. Bradley Bozeman is the center. Kevin Zeitler is the right guard. And Alejandro Villanueva is the right tackle. Lincoln, when I think about the Ravens, I think about it doesn't matter sometimes, I feel like anyway, who's out there in those uniforms. There's just a way that the Ravens go about their business. It's almost a philosophy or a mindset. They're going to be a hard-nosed, physical football team that's going to try to impose their will. Yes, they're missing their star running back who got hurt in the preseason. But if you're getting the kind of push, the kind of blocking up front that the Ravens are usually known for, I'm not going to say that it doesn't matter who the running back is, because obviously it does, but generally speaking, if they're winning the battle up front, they're going to be able to get their running back, whoever it is, to produce.
They have a very physical team. They've always been physical, and they do like to run the ball, and that's one of their strengths. And one of the keys that I have towards this game is the Raiders have got to do a better job at slowing down, if not containing, that run game. Because, as you know, the run sets up the pass, and that's what happened in the past. With Lamar Jackson, if he's back there trying to pass, he doesn't really have a number of receivers to go to all the time, and that's been the biggest declines. But they line up in 12, 13 personnel, and they try to move you around, and then they use play action to take over. So, but they've got a pretty good offensive line.
They do. And how much better do you feel with a guy like KJ Wright and a guy like Denzel Perryman, along with Corey Littleton, as you're starting linebackers? And we know, at least in base defense, and at least when it comes to that starting front four, you're going to have Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue on either end. Neither one of them, historically anyway, has been very good against the run, and that's going to be something that I know that the Ravens are going to challenge them on. And it puts a lot more pressure, I think, also on those your cornerbacks, your linebackers to support that run, but also the interior of the defensive line: Quentin Jefferson, Gerald McCoy, Jonathan Hankins, Darius Filon, Solomon Thomas, to also do their jobs.
When Gus Bradley has had success against the Ravens as a defensive coordinator, he's often used the last time, I think, when they played in the playoffs, he was using basically a dime front. Well, I don't think they can go that small. They would have to stay with their regular personnel. But the new way that we've kind of see things happen is that you bring in Jonathan Abram down in the box, and he's almost like a rover. So that seemed to be what they were doing a little bit in the preseason. That'll mean there'll be a one safety look. You'll be press corners on the outside, and you know, that'll help try to contain it. All those, the linebackers are going to be absolutely essential because they're going to have to contain the game and go sideline to sideline to make tackles.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Jonathan Abram. I think he's set up for a big game on Sunday.
Certainly.
You know, the position that he plays, the style of offense that they're playing against, how they're going to probably try to free him up to go make plays and be physical in that run game. And boy, I tell you what, Lincoln, for a guy like Jonathan to get off to a good start, he and Corey Littleton, I think is huge. I think that, you know, you can't revert back to the same problems that were happening a year ago. I'm a firm believer that mindset, confidence, how you feel about yourself goes a long way. And if right off the bat, the same old issues start creeping up, it's a snowball effect. It's just going to continue to gather momentum. Whereas, Lincoln, if they can stop that and move forward in a different direction and get off to a great start, it starts to snowball in another direction.
I totally agree. I think it, you know, from looking out from what we've seen last year with Abram, that being basically his first full year, since he's come to the league, and then expecting or hoping what we're expecting to see out of Gus Bradley's defense and what we've seen flashes of in preseason, I think it will be good. I think it'll be a confidence booster for all. And the reason why is you were talking about some of the defensive ends, and Ngakoue as well as Crosby, they're not very big. So you're obviously going to have you're going to want to try to put your big tackles on them and run right at them to sort of negate a lot of things that they can do and not have to, you know, try to catch them on pass rush.
No doubt about it. Out to the Raider Nation listener line, Robert is in San Jose. Robert, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, Vinny.
You got it.
I was just curious what you guys think in regards to a lot of the, lack of respect the Raiders are getting in terms of the national media. I know it doesn't mean anything in terms of preseason rankings, but even Rich Gannon on NFL radio today had us at 9-8. Honestly, below the Chargers, and I know NFL Network had us below the Denver Broncos. I understand we don't know what we're going to get necessarily on defense, but the Raider offense seems not to have gone anywhere. They're number 8 in yards, number 10 in points. Am I missing something? Is something drastically changed? And Rodney Hudson's a very good player, but I mean, I don't think he means the drop off just because he's not there. Drop is going to be that severe. I mean, am I missing something?
Listen, you know, there's so much recency bias in what happens in terms of the predictions. Lincoln, I'm going to throw some numbers at you, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm talking about here, but it's close to your. To where you are right now, okay? So this team, coming into the NBA season last year, the win-loss over-under total was 38, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were plus 4,000, which isn't good at all to win the NBA Finals. This team ended up winning 51 games last year. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Was it the Phoenix Suns?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I bring them up because it's just a reminder that what everyone's predicting, what everyone might be saying, what everyone might be projecting, just take it with a grain of salt. Because nobody has all the answers. The season is going to unfold the way the season unfolds. What happened last year, the year before that, the year before that. I hear people talking about the 2016 Raiders and Derek Carr. Who cares about the 2016 Raiders? It has nothing to do with what's going to happen this year. In 2016, I was covering a Los Angeles Rams team that went 4-12, Lincoln. Mm-hmm. It looked decades away. We were in Los Angeles saying, this is what we waited 20 years for. Send it back to St. Louis. Guess what? The very next year, they win 11 games, win their division, and go to the playoffs. Nothing that happened in the past has anything, squat, zero, zilch, nothing to do with what might happen this year. And this is the last thing I'll say, Lincoln, and I know that I'm guessing that you agree with me. If you want love, go out and earn that love. You want the respect, go out and earn that respect. And I'll say this about the Raiders. Everyone that I talk to understands that concept. They're not begging for anybody's love right now. They're not, sitting here saying we're underrated or you know, nobody's showing us love and this disrespect. They understand that to turn that around, it's on the 53 players and the coaching staff and everybody else that's in that building to change that narrative and start earning that respect.
You know, I think it was a couple of years ago where Derek Carr said he's tired of being, you know, disrespected. And when someone asked me, I said, well, just go out and earn it.
And he did.
And he did. You know, the thing is that I don't put anything in the preseason polls for college because I think they're bogus. It's just a starting point. I don't put anything in the preseason polls for the NFL. And again, the reason why mainly is that we only have what we saw last year to go off of. So why would it surprise you that you're not getting any national respect? You started off like you came out the gate like wild horses, and then you ended up 500 at the end of the season. So that's where everyone is kind of expecting you, especially when you see like the Chargers have got their franchise quarterback, how well Herbert played. You know what I mean? And you figure out eventually the Broncos are going to get it right. They're going to figure out something. I mean, they were a quarterback away from being with that defense they had last year. They were a quarterback away from really making things hard. And we already know we got in the Chiefs. That's just the division.
Right.
So when you look at the schedule, it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. Taking on the AFC East and taking on the NFC East, it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. And so we really don't know, because we didn't see preseason, the starters playing preseason, we don't know what we're going to have.
Right.
Starting to come out of the gate with a very physical team, the Baltimore Ravens, on Monday night.
Yeah.
That was a playoff-bound team. There's probably not a lot of people projecting you to win.
they're 4.5-point underdogs in this game.
Yeah.
So you got to show it. You got to prove it on the field. And once you do that, then you'll start getting the love that you might deserve. I think the one thing that I will agree with the fans, sometimes I read some of these national accounts, these national stories, and it's almost like, but you're not even taking into account some of the improvements that they've made, some of the players that they brought in. Again, bringing up how many sacks they had last year, I think is irrelevant. The entire defensive line almost has changed. The linebackers have changed. There's a new safety. There's a new cornerback. There's two new starting linebackers, two new starting defensive linemen, including a defensive end who's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So I think that when none of that gets taken into account, even at the very least, like comma, however, if so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so live up to what they've normally done, it will change things for the Raiders. I don't see a lot of that. So, you know, I get it. People are looking at things from high up on helicopters, kind of hovering around the NFL and making their little projections and assessments. But digging a little bit deeper, this team does have potential. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough, I get to watch these guys in practice day after day. It looks different, and I'd be surprised if the product wasn't different and more longstanding, a team that's more capable of playing deeper into the season. I think the depth is going to help out. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
We're going straight to the Raider Nation listener line. Eldrick wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Eldrick?
Yes, sir. Let's talk about the Raiders. First of all, I want to say thank you very much, Ben, to
to you and Big Kennedy right there. I want to thank Kennedy for all the years that he gave us on the football field, and I thank both of you so much for all that you're doing for the Raider Nation.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome for the truth. I'm excited about the season. I agree that we have made so many changes on each side of the ball, but I'm really excited about the defensive side of the ball, what we have done. Yes, we made a few mistakes here and there with drafts, but drafts, no matter if it's first round or whatever round it is, you hope that a player will, you know, turn out to be a certain way. So them picking that we made different drafts that didn't turn out right, well, you know, that's true, but also that can happen even with any pick. You know, you're just hoping that the individual turns out a certain way. But to all those players that was let go that we draft, us Raider Nation, wish them well, because once a Raider, always a Raider.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I know that there's obviously criticism. It doesn't look good when Tanner Muse, the third-round pick of last year, and also Lynn Bowden Jr., a third-round pick last year, neither player played a down for the Raiders, and they're no longer part of the organization. That's not a good look. I don't think there's anyone in the Raider organization who would claim that it was. But at the same time, Lincoln, if Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards and Trevon Moehrig and Trayvon Mullen continues to get better, and Damon Arnette gets better, and Josh Jacobs continues to play, and Max Crosby, we're talking about a lot of draft picks that are playing okay and have a chance to play even better. So the hope is, Lincoln, you hit on more than you miss, and you're gonna miss. There's no team, not in the history of the NFL, that bats 1,000, that bats 900, that bats 700 or 600. It's not designed to be that efficient and successful. So as the years go on, you got to be able to be hit on a few guys, 3-4 guys each year that are going to be contributors to you. And I look at the 2019 class, the 2020 class, and this 2021 class, and I do see starters. Now it's on them, Lincoln, to turn the corner and not just be starters and starting caliber players, but players that are going to contribute to a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, and again, where there has to be a sense of urgency. I think there's a sense of impatience by the Raider Nation collectively. And more importantly, there's a sense of urgency by this coaching staff, especially John Gruden. I mean, look, he turned over the roster, so now you have to have the appearance of, at least, that you're heading in the right direction. And, you know, I think like someone like Tanner Muse just became a numbers game. You know, it's unfortunate that he was hurt his first year. He really couldn't contribute. But now, because there's a sense of urgency, you really don't have time to have someone on the roster who can't contribute whole. You mean, and becomes a numbers game. So it's almost like when you're talking about a starting five, well, who are you willing to let go when you have a number of players? Are you the ones you need most, especially at linebacker, or ones who've been in the system, who are experienced and know how to play the game and can play it at a high level? And that's what the Raiders had to make their bones with.
Lincoln, would you trade Tanner Muse for KJ Wright, straight up?
No.
You wouldn't?
Oh, you got KJ Wright. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you had to, you would have to.
You just did.
Yeah, you did, exactly.
That's exactly what they did. If you want to, you know, put a happy face on it or put some context to it or some nuance to it, the Raiders traded Tanner Muse for KJ Wright. That doesn't absolve them from all guilt because, you know, Tanner Muse obviously wasn't fitting in or you know, obviously there's just better players, but it's more what you said. It's a numbers game. And at the end of the day, being able to bring in a guy like KJ Wright at the expense of a Tanner Muse, you would make that trade 99.9% of the time. And, you know, I'll say this. I texted Tanner Muse, wished him good luck. He was a great kid. And he's going to Seattle because there's four linebackers on their entire roster. He's going for a better opportunity. The Raiders made him an offer to come back on their practice squad, which would have put him in a position to eventually graduate back up to the 53-man roster. He sized up the situation and his agent said, there's four linebackers in Seattle right now. What's the best chance that I have out of these opportunities to get back onto the 53-man roster in the quickest fashion? It's Seattle. So that's a business decision that he made. Again, obviously it's not the best look in the world when you have 3 third-round picks as the Raiders did in 2020 and 2 never stepped foot on the field for you. That's not good. But you know what? Brian Edwards can save that round if he turns out to be the player that they hope he's going to be. You know, and if Henry Ruggs becomes a star player or a contributing player, you know, the guys that aren't part of it are going to kind of fade into oblivion, and the guys that are a part of it are going to, you know, create their narrative, and it's going to probably change the narrative of what that draft was all about. And I'll say this too, not making any excuses, just trying to, you know, put some more perspective on it. Think about last year, Lincoln. That was the oddest, craziest, most unusual draft evaluation year of all. There was a pandemic that was going on. Buildings weren't open. There was no way to physically meet with players. You couldn't bring them into the building. You couldn't go meet them. Everything was on Zoom. There was no scouting. There was a whole bunch of, well, actually, was there a scouting combine last year? Yeah, there was a scouting combine last year. But right after, everything got nixed. There was nothing going on. I mean, you had to do things remotely. And so if there was a year, Lincoln, where there were going to be some hiccups, that's probably the year, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, we're still learning from it because the Raiders were really young, especially in the back end. But, you know, you talk about, I mean, an odd year. How often do you have your general manager coaching your defense because your defensive coordinator and secondary coach are out of COVID? I mean, you know, just so it was crazy.
I want to bring that up to you, actually, because, you know, when I was talking to John Gruden, I had an exclusive interview with John Gruden a couple of days ago. You could read the story over at Vegas Nation on the app or go to VegasNation.com on the computer and check it out. But, you know, one thing that John told me that was really interesting to me, and it related to Gus Bradley, who, Lincoln, I'm just going to tell you that I think John Gruden had his eyes on Gus Bradley when he first got to the Raiders. Unfortunately, Gus Bradley was already had a job,
right,
and a contract with the Los Angeles Chargers. So sometimes things don't work out and the timing isn't perfect, right? So anyway, so we're talking about Gus Bradley. And one thing that John brought up that I thought was really telling, and it probably spoke a little bit about the staff last year, which I kind of had an inkling about this, just some things that I had heard from some players and otherwise, that the messaging and the synergy between the coordinator and the position coaches might not have been where it needed to be last year with last year's defensive staff. And so John was saying to me, he goes, look, you know, when Gus puts in his signature, you know, number one pass coverage look scheme, you're not going to have assistant coaches that are running downstairs going, yeah, rolling their eyes. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is going to work. You know,
right.
Like everyone, it's Ron Miles is synonymous with Gus Bradley. They've worked together the last 4 years. Richard Smith, the linebacker coach, is synonymous with Gus Bradley. They've worked together the last 4 years. Rod Marinelli and Gus Bradley have a long relationship. So I think, whereas last year, I don't think the coaching from the coordinator to the assistant coaches to the players, I think there was a breakdown going on there. And how many times, Lincoln, did we talk about this last year where guys would get up and look at each other going, I thought you were doing this. No, pointing at each other. They were obviously not on the same page. And a lot of that is on the players, but Lincoln, a lot of that is also on the coaching.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you really didn't have, they were coaching by Zoom. I don't, you know, we had talked constantly throughout last season about the job, how difficult the job is that much more when you can't get together. The only time the guys actually sat together is when they were on a plane going to the away games. Everything else was excluded, separate. So, you know, that is going to be strange. Now, having a full off season and what they did in training camp has aided them, obviously.
Yes.
The scheme looks better schematically on paper from what we've seen in preseason than they looked last year at all last year. So we're hopeful. We're wishing that it holds true. But it is. I can't imagine them doing their job that last year. I can't imagine being a coach in a league and trying to do a job. I know everyone did it, but it's just impossible to me.
I concur. I do believe some of those issues were also carryovers from 2019 as well, in terms of, and I just feel like there that synergy on the coaching staff or that belief in what guys were being asked to coach It just there was a little bit of a breakdown. I don't think that that's going to be the case this year with this staff. I think there's full buy-in from everybody. And Lincoln, I would imagine in your time as a player, there were times where maybe you can detect that whatever your position coach was coaching you, he wasn't necessarily 100% behind it. Like, have you ever been in that kind of a situation? I know even in high school, I could feel it at times where it was like, well, coach wants to do it. And it was just like, okay, if you're not buying into it, why should I buy into it?
Right, right. Yeah, I've had some instances where I've been around coaches that just didn't know what they were doing. So
that kinda too.
Just had to kind of go out there and wing it. But, you know, and it happens. It happens on every level. But you're right. I mean, the thing is that, you know, if you take like Arnett, you know, he was a press corner in college. And the system they had him in, they had him playing zone, field zone. I mean, it's like, that's not his strength.
Right.
It's like a fish out of water. It's like, why would you draft this guy out of Ohio State, use a first-round pick on him, if you're not going to have him play press corner?
Exactly.
You know, and so, I mean, instances like that where you're not coaching to the strength. And I've been affiliated with programs like that where, you know, they bring you into the system and it's not cohesive to your strengths, and then you really struggle. So that's another reason. But I'm just hoping for a big turnaround.
Yeah, and I think it's within the realm of possibility. And, you know, when you hear Corey Littleton talking about, you know, the fact that guys are playing faster, guys are playing with a better understanding of what they're doing. We've talked about this so many times, Lincoln. When you have a command of something, I don't care what you're doing in life. I don't care if it's tossing a pizza at the pizzeria. If you know what you're doing and have an understanding of it, you're going to be darn good at that. Otherwise, you're going to be dropping it and having to, you know, pick it up, and you're just going to be unsure of yourself, and then you're going to be thinking about it, and that slows down the process. It's the same exact thing on a football field. If you know what you're going to have to be doing, first and foremost, if you believe in it, if you believe that this is what you should be doing schematically, and for you as a player, and being asked to do the right thing that's going to help you be the best possible player and be the best asset on that team, if you believe in it and then understand it, guys are going to be flying to the football. And that's the Corey Littleton that I remembered in Los Angeles, somebody who obviously bought in and understood it and had a command of it and played like that. And to hear him talk about, you know, the Raiders right now at collectively as a defense playing that way, look, do we know that for a fact? No, we're going to find out on Monday night. But I got a feeling that it is going to look better in that regard, and it's going to look faster and more sure of itself. But gosh, every time we talk about this, Lincoln, we go, but we got to see it on Monday night, right?
I mean, that's just it. We got to see it all. All the pieces have to come together. We've seen flashes. I mean, look, you know, for what it's worth, we've seen Cleveland Farrell play at a high level the preseason. We've seen him get things done. And you take it with a grain of salt, because a lot of times he wasn't playing against starters, you know, would-be starters. So, but it is what it is. I mean, you want to see it pay off. Gerald McCoy, you know, we want to see it pay off. Max Crosby, we didn't see him, you know, in Dockway. You know, a lot of the things, the pieces that we're talking about right now, Vinny, we didn't see play together, and we have to see that. So that's why it's all wishful thinking right now.
It is, and you catch yourself, like I've seen some of that, and I know it's just practice, but I've seen enough of it to know, this could be headed in the right direction. But at the same time, I got to stop myself and say, but you got to go out there and do it against the Baltimore Ravens. Real quick, just want to let you know that we're going to be at Lincoln's restaurant tomorrow.
Angry Crab Shack.
The Angry Crab Shack. Like I said on the morning show, try not to eat much before you go, because A, the food is really good, and there's a lot of it as well. So great food, great drinks, great atmosphere. We're going to kick off the NFL season over at Lincoln's restaurant tomorrow with a live broadcast of In the Huddle at the Angry Crab Shack. We're going to give the address out. Actually, do you have the address off the top of your head, Lincoln?
Not off the top of my head. Okay. You know, I got plenty of notes in front of me. You know,
I've got so much in my head that I can't remember my own address. I got to double check. So we'll get that information to you. But for sure, we're going to be there 4 to 6 o'clock tomorrow. And everybody is invited. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Wednesday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy.
Real quick, Demon Rum, our good friends over at Demon Rum, Now you can get Demon Rum shipped directly to you. Just go to drinkdemonrum.com. The more you buy, the better the deal. And now, for being a fan, get 10% off your total order. Enter DemonVinny10 in the coupon code. That's DemonVinny10 at drinkdemonrum.com. Go check them out. Get your rum. Get ready for this weekend's games. A lot of college football, Lincoln. A lot of, and where are you going to be Saturday? Are you on assignment this week?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It turned on my mic. I've got to go to Wazoo. I'm not coaching. I'm commentating, calling the game for Pac-12 Network, Wazoo versus Portland State and the Palouse.
All right. So. Quick question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you stay on the Idaho side or usually I've stayed in Idaho when I go up to Washington State.
Right.
The last time I went, I stayed in Spokane. I actually liked it. Spokane was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm staying in Spokane.
All right.
Yeah, there's nothing up in Pullman, so
zero. Zero in Pullman. Although I have to say, I remember covering a USC Washington State game. It was 1 o'clock game. I'm driving back to Spokane and Lincoln, and I know you know this because you've spent a lot of time in Washington. All of a sudden, the fog came in.
Yeah.
I couldn't see 1 foot in front of me. Neither could anyone else making the long ride back to Spokane because there were a lot of Washington State fans that made the drive. I prayed the whole time, and I was so thankful when I got to my hotel because it was hairy. It could get like that in Washington.
Yeah.
You know that. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Ralph is on the line. How you doing, Ralph?
Hello? Hey, how you doing?
Good,
hello?
Ralph. How you doing?
This is Ralph from Los Angeles. Yeah, I just had a question in regarding the Raiders. You know, yeah. I'm a Raider forever. But the issue is, like, with the issue with the draft, you know, like, we never make successful draft picks and rooting Penton for loving veterans. It seems like we should trade our picks like the Rams and go after established players.
Okay, so I know that has Max Crosby been a successful player as far as you're concerned?
Somewhat, yes.
Has Josh Jacobs?
Yes.
Do you like?
I'm just saying.
Do you like Trayvon Mullen?
He needs work. He's decent, but he's not a number one corner. Definitely.
All right. If Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards take step forwards, does that change things a little bit for you about the draft evaluation? If Trayvon Morrig plays well this year, if Nate Hobbs plays well this year, I just think there's been a rush to judgment. I think last year was just a weird year all the way around. It was hard to get a grasp and a handle on the 2020 group. I think the 2019 group, just the foundation that they set when you're talking about the undrafted free agents and the drafted players, that's the heart and soul of your team. When you think of your punter, your kicker, you found a tight end, Darren Waller. I know he came in there in 2018, but it was late 2018. I kind of put him with that 2019 group. Foster Moreau, Alec Ingold, Max Crosby, Clee Farrell, Trayvon Mullen. That's not a bad foundation of young players from 2019. They're just turning the corner into their third year. This is the year where you expect them to take an even bigger step forward, and right behind them is the 2020 group, which has a chance to have a much bigger year this year. I just think it's – Lincoln, I'm not quite sure. I know that we live in a very impatient society, but I just feel like there's still time, and I'm not sure we're giving some of these draft classes that time before we write them off.
Well, I mean, look, that's why I said the sense of urgency is now for this team, this coaching staff, because you got to win now, or you're going to have some hard decisions to make, whether it's you're going to let go good players or you got to, you know, re-sign them for a lot of money. You're not going to be able to keep everybody. So that's why the sense of urgency is now. But, I mean, I can understand where the frustration sets in because you want – I think there's people out there that just want instant gratification. You want to know that you got it right with the guy and he's a game changer, an impact player. It doesn't always work that way. It's just this is the way thing it goes. I mean, you could strike it. Go if you have a quarterback, you have a chance. That's the way I believe. But the other pieces of the puzzle are absolutely essential too, because just as Gruden referred to many times last year, we got to get some stops.
Right.
We need the defense to slow down some people so we don't have to try to go up and down the field and score all the time or score in a hurry. So, I mean, it is truly a team effort when you think about it and how far they've come. But now you have to start winning now.
Right. And I think that, you know, and we've talked about this before, Lincoln. Last year, I know because I talked to people, there was a concern with the way the last year's offseason was set up in terms, you know, because of COVID-19, and the amount of young players that the Raiders were legitimately relying on last year. Like, it was too many young. It was the worst year to be relying on so many young defensive players, but they had to. They are in that position. They were in a rebuild. They were in the middle of that rebuild, and they drafted a bunch of defensive players and you know, some younger players off also on offense, but they weren't able, especially on defense, to build any kind of a foundation or any kind of a chemistry because there was no offseason. And I think now bringing in, like John Gruden said, you got a guy like Casey Hayward that the other young cornerbacks can look around and say, oh, that's how you do it.
Right.
That's what it looks like. That's how you work. That's how you study. That's how you eat. That's how, you know, it's supposed to look. And they didn't really have that. They haven't had that. And unfortunately, it's because of the circumstance, because of the situation. There were just too many young players that were being relied upon at the same exact time. Right. And it's hard to win when it's that many young players.
Yeah, you're right about that. It is hard to win. It's difficult. I mean, it's difficult to win in period, but it's definitely hard when you have that many pieces that you really can't get to or really can't coach up.
I bring up the Phoenix Suns quite a bit because they're interesting to me because they were in a rebuild for a while. And a lot of the young players that they were bringing in, because they were so young, the success in terms of the wins and losses wasn't evident. But guys were getting development time. Guys were, you know, playing and learning. And then they bring in a veteran like Chris Paul. And all of a sudden, those young players who were kind of running around into each other and not winning games, all of a sudden, you're like, wow, who are all these guys? And yeah, obviously, we knew who Devin Booker is. But there were a bunch of other young players on that team that were like, these are pretty good players. But they didn't have that veteran influence that you kind of need. And you bring in a Chris Paul, and it makes all the difference in the world in terms of bringing it all together. And I think now, defensively, the Raiders have a Gerald McCoy, a Yannick Ngakoue, a KJ Wright, a Denzel Perryman, a Casey Hayward to kind of glue it all together in a veteran way that they just didn't have last year, Lincoln.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it's going to make a difference. You know, you talk about Chris Paul coming to the Suns. You know, all of a sudden you got like a quarterback, a point guard who knows what to do with the ball, who knows how to get everybody to coach everybody up, a player that's on the field, on the court, as well as in the locker room. And there are some, like, for example, when it comes to the secondary, you know, you mentioned Casey Hayward, you know, Nevin Lawson is going to be lost for a couple of weeks, but
right.
You got to have Hobbs or someone else has got to step up into that nickel position. But it was, what do you do with Jonathan Abram?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you tell, not necessarily tame him or pull him back, but you got to pull in the reins to where he knows what he's doing with more confidence. And I think having somebody like a Casey Hayward or this, or the linebacker group that you mentioned, the linebackers in a part of it, I think that all helps, especially with Coach Miles, what he's able to do with the secondary.
I love the Ron Miles mention. First of all, just watching him on the field, and it's evident the respect that he commands and the knowledge that he has. We were talking to Amik Robertson, who, by the way, had a really strong training camp in his second year. Go figure, a young player that's developing and getting better. But, you know, we asked him about Ron Miles, and his eyes just lit up, right? And
yeah.
and he said, he goes, you know, he coaches me hard. He goes, and he probably doesn't think that I like that, but I love it. I love getting coached up by this guy. And everyone that we've talked to about Ron Miles just speaks so well of him. And it's not because he's trying to be all buddy-buddy. Actually, it's the complete opposite of that. And Ron Miles told us, he goes, hey, what I tell these guys is, look, it's not quite jail, but it's not a country club either. Somewhere in between is where we're going to have to be to get this thing right. So expect me to be up in your you-know-what sometimes, but I'll right. also love you too.
Right.
So finding that fine line, I think he's a master at that, and I think these guys are responding to it, and it's interesting to see how that'll look on the field. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Wednesday.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.